Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Who doesn't love shopping at Target? Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target? And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. But wait, there's more. Now you've got a new way to save with Target Circle 360. With unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's. Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. That's $50 off the regular price. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same-day delivery is subject to terms, applies to orders over $35. For a 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in-store or at target.com/circlecard.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I am all in.
More, more, more. I wanna kiss you more.
I am all in with Scott Patterson, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hey everybody, Scott Patterson, I am all in podcast. This is going to be part two of the call-ins, the season six wrap-up Q&A. Carolyn, hi. How you doing? What part of Australia? Are you in Melbourne?
No, I'm in Adelaide, which is okay. South Australia.
And what time is it? Is it tomorrow?
It's tomorrow. It's 10 a.m.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my gosh.
It's 3:30 p.m. in California. It's the afternoon in California.
I'm so bad, but it makes me think of Dumb and Dumber.
And when Friday morning.
Do you guys know, in Dumb and Dumber? And he's like, put another shrimp on the bomb.
I don't think we say that.
I know, that's why it's so dumb in Dumb and Dumber. It's so great.
Oh, it's a good movie. Good movie.
Oh,
so
my gosh,
doing,
tell
Carolyn?
Us everything.
Are you a big fan? You're a big Gilmore fan?
Of course, of course.
How many times have you seen the show?
I probably watched it once a year from maybe 16 years old, and I'm 35 now. So however many times that is.
That's 19 times.
Now, when did it first, obviously you're born and raised in Australia. When did you first get it?
When did Australia get it?
I'm not sure. I think I'd heard about it and it sounded like my kind of thing. And I bought the fourth season. So I think I actually started with the fourth season and then went back.
You bought it.
Oh my gosh, on DVD.
DVD, yes.
DVD, yeah.
Oh, wow. That would be weird to start in season four.
It's a good season, so it was fine.
Yeah, it is. Oh my God. But what did you think of season six?
It has some really excellent bits.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
I don't love everything, but it's still really good quality television. Yeah. And that last episode with, I think, is it the last episode with all the troubadours? And
yep.
That's so good. It's so fun. Really good cameos from some amazing musicians. So I had a good time with that one.
Good.
But how did you feel about the ending when she goes to Christopher?
I mean, not great. Don't feel great about that one. I think that was a choice.
How do you feel about Christopher? I'm still trying to find one human being that does not dislike him.
It's not. You're the only one, Amy. Like, you're the only one.
I'm so sorry, Amy. I think he's an interesting character to a degree.
That's being generous. That's kind. That's being very generous.
I'm trying to be nice to Amy. I don't love Christopher, no.
What's your take on why she runs back to him?
That kind of ties into my question a little bit, to be honest.
So what is your question?
Bring it.
Okay, I wrote it down because I'm really forgetful. So so in terms of plot, character development, as well as character consistency, do you feel like season 6 has too much conflict for the sake of conflict?
Yes, I do. I do. That's an excellent question, and it's a really good observation. And I think it becomes, you know, if there's, gosh, I don't want to sound like I'm being critical, but here it goes. I think it's really important from a writing perspective, to a character emanates. I'm sorry, plot emanates from character. That's the best kind of writing. But when things start getting plotty, then that, yes, that's a criticism. And that means you're imposing on these characters behaviors that are out of character to fit into a plot. And that's, I think, what your question encapsulates. I think that's the concern.
Yes. So,
yeah,
yes.
You framed it beautifully, yes. So I agree. I think it got plotty, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just think that as well, Luke and Lorelai have been set up from the beginning. There's been a lot of foreshadowing in earlier seasons. Luke loves Lorelai so, so much and has fought so hard to get where they are that I just don't believe that he wouldn't fight harder for her. That's just my take.
Yeah, it's out of character.
That's a good take. I do agree with that, which has kind of been one of my points.
Right. And I think we've tried to justify this, and I've personally have tried to justify it, to defend him, but there really is no defense for it other than things got imposed on the character that drive him farther away from his character than he would normally act. What has already been established in what kind of a solid person he is.
I also think Lorelai could have given him more time, more grace, as I've said, more just chill, Lorelai, chill. A little bit of that is how I feel. Like, just chill. He's been through this major thing. He loves you. He's repeatedly really made that clear. In his Luke way. I don't know. It's not a popular take, but it's mine.
But it is television. It's not film, right?
True.
It is television. You need to have events. You need to have, you know, story points. You need to hit them hard to keep an audience engaged, especially when a show is in declining ratings like season 6 it was, right? I mean, I think it peaked in 4 and 5, and then it started coming down a little bit in 6. So I think that was a concern. So yeah, it's just writing for television is gotta be a nightmare. It's gotta be so hard to keep it real and keep these characters resembling themselves. but sometimes you've got to make some tough choices and, you know, to retain an audience, I guess. I don't know.
It happens, I think, in a lot of really good TV shows towards the later seasons where they maybe just don't get the balance quite right. So So there's maybe a little bit too much conflict, maybe not enough comedy or something to offset that conflict, which I think in the earlier seasons is done so well.
So here's what happens. What television shows experience that are ramping up the first couple of years and becoming successful? What happens is there are so many shows that each network is producing on a yearly basis that ones that usually they're seeing flagging ratings right away for most of them. So they kill those off. They don't put a lot of assets or time into those. They know those aren't going to make it. They can just see the numbers and say, well, this is just not, we're not going to invest in this further. But the ones that do hit, the few and far between, and Gilmore is in that category, that's when the studio steps in and starts imposing notes on the creatives.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the problems begin. And that's where the disagreements begin. And that's when you notice it on the TV show, because the creatives are like, mm-hmm. no, we're not going to impose this on these characters. These characters wouldn't say this. They wouldn't act this way. But when a network or a studio feels they've got a hit on their hands, then mm-hmm. they start getting very hands-on with the notes and the impositions and the plot points, and it's got to go in this direction. So it's anathema to the creative process, but they're paying for it. and it's their money invested in this. So either do it or we're going to fire you, or, you know, you're going to have problems with us going forward. And a lot of creatives mm-hmm. just sort of like, gosh, you know, we don't want to make it hard for ourselves. And how do we do this? And they try to figure out a way to do it. Sometimes they do it very successfully. Sometimes they don't. So, you know, it's just the nature of the beast. That's all.
Absolutely.
Just the nature of the beast.
It must be really difficult for people on the creative end. This is something they really, really care about. Mm-hmm. It's something they pour a lot into. I imagine it must be really hard to have. So I'd like to a little caveat. I'm not trying to be overly critical either, because I know there's a lot of moving parts. And when people make something, they put a lot into it. It must be really hard to have that overhead kind of interfering with your vision.
So at the ground level on set, when you see a script come in and a last minute rewrite, and you look at it and you go, oh God, this, and then you go to the writer, you go to the creators and you go, guys, what's going on here? Where are these notes coming from? Well, it's a network. And it's like, aha, uh-huh, of course it is. Well, I'm not going to say this, and I'm not going to say this, and I'm not, because I, you know, I don't tell them how to do their job and they can't tell me how to do mine.
Yeah,
but the thing is they're driving the bus, they're paying for it, they're promoting it, and somehow it's got to be pulled off. And there are a lot of compromises that are made.
You have to play the game.
This brings up
not
my,
always.
This brings up my question. this brings up my question. And Suzanne, I'd love for you to jump in. You know how there's the theory, I think you mentioned it, that Paladino sort of intentionally threw, for lack of a better word, part of season 6.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that, because as like someone who produces shows, right? And Scott, you can weigh in, and Carolyn, I want to hear your take too. If this is your baby and it's so important to you, even though you can't work out your contract, I can't imagine ever intentionally doing bad work for something that has my name on it, even if I'm not coming back. I just can't imagine doing that. I just can't imagine they would do that. That's just my sort of thought question for you guys.
I think it kind of ties back to the question, is there drama just for the sake of drama, or was it necessary to drive the story? And you know, I don't know, like I've said before, I've never met Amy and Dan. I don't know them. I'm not saying for sure that that's what happened. it just wouldn't surprise me. I mean, I get that it must have been incredibly difficult for them to take what they had created and nurtured and built and then just turn it over to somebody else. Like, that must have been incredibly difficult. So I can't even say that I know how that feels.
All right, let me give you an analogy here. Imagine Picasso meeting with, and he used to meet with people, he used to give them a couple minutes, and he'd say, this one's 5 million, this one's 10 million, this one's 15 million. You got 2 minutes to decide. Can you imagine one of these people saying, well, I really like this one, but can you maybe put a little more dab of red over there?
Right.
Because I think my wife would really like it.
Yeah.
I'm paying for it, so you better do it, pal.
And I bet you somebody did say that to Picasso, because somebody says that to everybody.
And do you know what Picasso probably said? Get the F out of my studio. And Amy and Dan are Picassos of the television writing world. And they were back then, and they took great pride in creating these characters, and they took great pride in crafting these shows. And for somebody to come in and not give them a 2-year deal, which is really, really unusual. It's really contentious. It means the relationship was bad. I mean, the question is can you see them, wrecking one of their own paintings at the end as an FU to the studio?
I don't know.
I mean, it's like, these are human beings. These are highly gifted, creative people who fight for their choices, because, real artists fight for their choices.
I think if they had the vision to know, and maybe they did at that point because of the DVDs, was really going to have a...
But they know, we got to play ball. What if they... the process was like, we got to play ball. We want to tell other stories. We have other ideas in the future, and we got to part. It has to be a good parting, a peaceful parting. There can't be bad blood. So maybe we just did. I mean, who knows why people do these things?
It doesn't really matter in the end what the motivation was, because we're as viewers.
But I know, but we're talking. We're exploring all the possibilities of it. No, I agree. It doesn't really matter. But I'm a person who fights for my choices on set.
Yeah.
And the reason I fight for my choices is because I trust myself implicitly. I know myself as an actor. I know what I can act. I know what I can't possibly act. I know what is actable. I know what is going to make me look like a bad actor. Mm-hmm. And that is my butt up there on screen. Mm-hmm. And that's forever.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a...
And they really may have that too. That's their really, name. That's their really writing.
There really aren't any times to compromise your art. So that's that's the challenge for artists, quote unquote, artists, working in a medium that thrives on compromise.
It's difficult. Well,
you can,
Carolyn,
you've
started quite a conversation.
I'll just add one point, and then I'll let you guys go.
Thank you. It's great. It's great being on your podcast. Love it.
Give it to us, Carolyn. Give it to us. I'm scared.
I think, no, not at all. Not scary. Given all of that context together, I think it's also entirely possible that if you thought you had 2 years, but now you've got 1 year, and you had all of these directions for all of these wonderful characters, I wonder if that's why it feels a bit too plotty, and that's why it feels a bit too stacked, because they wanted to do all of these things and they had a very limited time to do them. So I just wonder if that's another reason why.
Could be.
Yeah.
I guess we'll never know unless we get the great lady and the great man on the show to pound away.
Yeah, we actually need to. We have not asked them yet, and we should.
Yeah, you should.
We should
do it.
Carolyn, enjoy a whole different day than we're in.
It's very hot here, so it'll be
How hot is it? How hot is it?
Summer there.
It's going to be close to 40 degrees today.
Oh my gosh.
Wait, 40 degrees?
That's like in freezing. The 90s. No, that's 90s.
Celsius, babe.
Celsius, yeah. That's like 95.
Yeah.
Oh, that's hot.
Oh, well,
stay indoors. Stay indoors.
Put another shrimp on the Bobby.
Yeah. Put another log on the fire there, Carolyn.
Oh, God, I don't know anything.
Stay warm.
Oh, my stay gosh. Warm. All Carolyn, right, thank you.
Thanks for calling in. We had a blast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Be well.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices, and vacation disappears quicker than ice cream melts. But what if summer doesn't have to come with a scorching price tag? What if there's another way? With IKEA, your plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Dreamy getaways can mean the perfect reading nook right outside your window, picnic in the shade, or taking your morning coffee to meet the morning sun. Really, any meal tastes better outside. Create that summer escape for family and friends and start planning a better, more affordable summer right now. You can be the host with the most and the least worries. This summer, make your doorstep the perfect vacation destination with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. You're stuck with us only for a second. Scott's coming back. But Linda, where are you?
I live in South Georgia, Valdosta.
Whoa. That's the town, Valdosta?
Yes, that's the town. It's about 10 minutes north of Florida.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool.
It's Moody Air Force Base.
And how far from Atlanta?
About 4 hours.
All right. Oh, cool. Yeah.
4 hours with 4 hours south. We lived in Atlanta for 30 something years. And
no
then,
way.
Yes. And then my daughter went off and got married and had a child. So we had to move close.
I so get it. Wait, that's awesome. So is that your first grandbaby?
Yes. One and only. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, yeah. Grandmas need to be right by those babies.
Oh, sure. Yes. Yes. He's 9. So...
doesn't matter. You'll be there until he's 25. Who cares?
I will be there until I take my last breath, for sure.
Oh, that's so sweet. So Scott is going to come back, but at least before he does, I'd love to hear your question about Christopher, as I am the only person who possibly likes Christopher, it seems, at all. And I'm not saying I love him and he's, you know, I want her to marry him, but I'm just saying I don't hate him.
Well, I don't hate Christopher either. And my take is, I think Lorelai uses Christopher as her safe space.
Yeah, I think you're very accurate with that. He is her, we sort of talked about it earlier, like when you go through something tough, you immediately go to that person that's like, always going to be there for you. And you know, they're going to be there and you know, they sort of worship you, right?
Right.
Even if and you don't love them as much.
Exactly. And Christopher, love him or hate him, he wants Lorelai all the time, anytime.
See, I agree. Now, Suzanne, you have a different take on that, right? Like, I agree that I think he loves her and wants to be with her.
Oh, 100%. But I also think that Lorelai doesn't deny it. I mean, they've been together mm-hmm. their entire lives. Mm-hmm. They are the only two people besides their parents that have known them their entire lives. Mm-hmm. So where does she go for safety and security? We already know she had a tumultuous relationship.
To the most spineless human being in the whole show.
Yes.
That's her
agree.
Safe zone.
He's selfless. He is selfish and arrogant because he knows he can get Lorelai because she's mm-hmm. never going to say no. When there is any type of chaos going on around her with whomever, mm-hmm. who does she run to? She runs to Christopher.
You know, you just said something there, Linda, too, that really made me think. She can't say no to him because even after they have the worst blow up in the history of blow ups, she still is like, I'll take Gigi. I'll take care of it.
Yes.
What do you need? Mm-hmm. Let me come over to your house when your father passed away. She can't get rid of him.
She has
even
not
if
the
she wanted to.
Right. She does not have the ability to say no to him. And that's proven because they've had sex multiple times and multiple times she could have said no.
I totally called that out too, that I know people don't like him, but she does. She
yes.
likes him.
I'm not a Christopher fan. I'm a Luke 100% fan. I've watched the show hundreds of times and I'm 100% Luke. My thing is she uses Christopher as her one and only safe space where mm-hmm. I or another woman, I would never go to my ex if I had a problem with my now. I would go to a girlfriend.
Right.
I would go to a girlfriend. I would never go to an ex. Where does she go? To the one person she feels absolutely the safest with because mm-hmm. she knows when she's with him, nothing can happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And she also is very who she is with him. There's no walls up. There's
exactly.
no, she's not putting up a front. She doesn't have to pretend she didn't have the childhood she had, the good and the bad, the rich and the, you know, all of it.
That's,
he can
that's
totally
my
relate.
Point.
And they have this, they have Rory. So like they have this thing
right
forever.
Right.
As much as everybody doesn't want to hear it.
But they're connected on not just the Rory level. They're connected on a primal level.
Mm-hmm,
they're
agree.
Connected on a level that nobody outside of the two of them can understand. When she had problems with Max Medina, who did she go to?
Yeah.
She called Christopher mm-hmm. the night of her bachelorette party
mm-hmm.
to Max Medina. She runs to him. Mm-hmm. She ran to him when Francine and Strobe was all up in
mm-hmm.
her grill. What do they do? Go and have sex. She never says no. She never says no.
And do you think they have chemistry? I do, but a lot of people shoot that down.
No, I don't. Again, I don't think they have chemistry because they know each other on a primal level, which is a lot different than having chemistry. Like she and Luke, there's all kinds of chemistry. Let me just say. There are certain episodes I will watch over and over and over again just for their chemistry. But I think, again, they are such primal human beings that when they're together, she knows that he knows that nothing can go on. Nothing can happen. And once she is away from him, when the chaos ensues, where does she go? And I know that Scott and Danielle haven't seen season 7, But season 7 is,
oh, I know,
is that place.
Yeah.
Season 7 is that place until mm-hmm. as we get into the season. Oh, God, I won't say anything.
I think I understand what you're saying. Mm-hmm. No, I don't. Maybe I'm not looking forward to seeing season.
That's what I was going to say. There are parts you are not going to like.
Yeah, season 7. Yeah.
Wait, I have something for all three of you. So you know how, like, in life, you sort of have a traumatic event, right? And part of you is always sort of frozen at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Are both of them, like, we always talk about Christopher being so teenagery-ish, right? Well, maybe Lorelai has a lot of that in her too. She is, like, childlike in a lot of ways, and you know, the pregnancy and the birth, like, did have trauma for them, and in some ways that's why they're always sort of drawn back to each other just as teenagers. You know, that's very teenagery to run back to your ex.
Right,
they not an adult
she regresses.
Yeah.
Oh, 100
about that. Yeah, Scott, you talked about that. That's right.
I think 100% she goes back to that time as a teenager, no worries, don't have to pay bills, don't have my own business. She goes back to that spot immediately when she's with Christopher, and he allows it.
Right.
He opens up and he 100% allows the fact that she could come back to him, where Luke would be like, you're a grown ass woman. Mm-hmm. Pull your britches up and move on.
Well, you know, Christopher kind of still lives in that immaturity. Like, he didn't have to grow immediately like Lorelai did. And I think when Gigi came along is kind of where he grew up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
He suddenly had that single parent responsibility that Lorelai has had for, you know, 20 years now. So I think that's why he is always like wanting her to come back in, because he's just still living in that same
place. Yeah. Agreed. And he, even with Gigi, he still had all that childlike, I can't say no, you know, all of that stuff. I can't say no to her. And then when he tries to connect with Rory, he doesn't understand. Rory can see that he's still a child. Like when he goes to her dorm room, or he goes to the apartment, and he's like, we have to go out to breakfast, we have to do this, we have to do that. And she's like, no.
Right. And he's all about, he loves Logan. He sort of grew up a little bit with Sherry. Like, she got, you know, whether right or wrong, good, bad, he got that job. He got the haircut. He sort of buttoned up, got a Volvo or whatever it was.
Right.
And then he had to grow up a bit when she just bails, which is such a Christopher move.
But you notice he grew up, and then Lorelai, I can't get her to stop crying. Can you do this? Can you come babysit? Yeah. And what does she do? She runs right to him. Again, her safe place. It always goes back to Christopher being her safety net. Her not, he doesn't criticize her. Yeah, they fight, but they fight like siblings. If you've ever.
Yeah.
They fight like siblings. They don't fight like a relationship couple. They fight like siblings.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where...
Like teenagers.
Yes. And Lorelai, I think she uses that to her advantage. And Christopher certainly does, because Christopher knows he's getting some Lorelai tail whenever she comes over. He knows that.
Did she just say Lorelai tail?
Yeah, I did.
I remember when you called it the bad thing. Scott was calling it the bad thing.
I call it the bad thing.
Remember, you're on the bad
thing. He's got some Lorelai tail every time she comes over.
Oh my God, Linda, you're funny.
Linda,
how are you feeling about
classic?
Us?
You're classic.
How are you feeling about
thank
us?
Thank you. I appreciate that, Scott. Thank you.
Season classic. 7. Like, what advice do you? We made Danielle go away because we were afraid of spoilers. But what advice do you have for Scott for season 7?
Strap in. It's going to be a bumpy ride. That's all I'm going to say is strap in. It's going to be a bumpy ride.
Oh,
but I think, you know, he's her soft place to land.
Yeah.
And he lets it happen.
He likes it.
Yeah, of course he does.
Yeah.
Of course he does. There's no denying that. But like I said, season 7, just strap in.
Yeah.
But I've seen, I mean, my daughter and I started watching Gilmore Girls the minute it came on when she was a teenager. She's 35 now. And now we've gotten both of our husbands to watch. We watch on Netflix.
Oh, that's so cool.
And both of our husbands are like, because my daughter's name is Nina, and she's my she's our only child. So she and I called each other Lorelai and Rory all through her growing up.
That's so good.
Yeah, we do it. We still do it now. People are like, what? We're like, never mind.
Oh, my gosh.
Our husbands now are like, we'll sit there and we'll watch and we'll repeat lines and we'll say lines. And they look at us like, would you girls please shut up or go in the other room?
What do the husbands think of Gilmore Girls?
My husband wasn't a fan at first, but now he is really into it. And he likes Luke. Yeah. He says, I like Luke. Luke's a stand-up guy. He does not like Christopher. He thinks Christopher's a slimy worm. But he is... sometimes he likes Jess and sometimes he likes Logan. He's not a big Dean fan.
Oh, yeah.
But he fluctuates between Jess and Logan. Mm-hmm. That's his fluctuation between Jess and Logan. And I'm not sure of my son-in-law. I'm not really
sure. Who do you like for Rory?
Who do I like for Rory?
Yeah.
It's between Jess. I like Logan in her college years, but I like Jess as an adult, not so much as a teenager, because I unfortunately dated a Jess.
many,
yes. Luke and I are of the same age. I mean, Scott and I are the same age. And I dated a Jess and it did not end well. Let's just say. So I have, when I see Jess, it brings up a lot of, oh yeah, I know where this is going kind of thing. So I'm more of a Logan.
I'm a Logan fan, although when we get to the movies, there's going to be so many discussions because Logan and Rory are a mess in the movies. Yes,
I think not to give Scott any spoilers on the movies, but I don't think they did Logan and Rory justice in the movies.
I agree with you. Yeah. I think somewhere Scott might agree too.
Yeah. I don't think they did them justice. But see, I married my Logan, so I'm all good.
Mm. Oh, that's so cute. Yeah. They did Jess right multiple times. Yeah. Yes. They really make him turn out great.
Oh, 100%. I think Jess as an adult, Rory should have gone with Jess as an adult because he pulled a lot more out of her intellectually than I think Logan did.
And he's a stand-up guy. He's Luke.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. 100%. He's a mini me Luke for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, we kind of know that Luke as a teenager had some Jess like Luke wasn't perfect as a teenager. And we kind of know that a little bit. So anyway, Linda, you must say hi to Nina for us.
I certainly will. I told her yesterday that I was going to be on the podcast and she was all jealous. And like, I can't believe you're going to do that. I'm like, yes, I'm going to get to talk to my Scott Patterson, Luke. I'm so excited.
Linda. Scott, say something swoony, Scott. Say something swoony.
Say something swoony.
Say something Luke-like.
Linda, in a different time and place, maybe. Maybe.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And by the way, Sullivan's Crossing rocks.
Thank you.
Yes, it absolutely. I grew up my summers in Canada, so.
Oh, did you?
Yes. Grew up in Ontario.
Wow.
So, but Sullivan's Crossing rocks. I can't wait till April when season 2 comes out.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I'm doing the ADR on season 1 right now.
I'm very excited because season 1 was definitely emotional. I was
doing ADR on season 2. And by the way, the show looks a lot better now.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yeah, it kind of looks like a film. It looks like movies. It's
really,
they I don't know what they did. It's just wild. What it just looks.
Season 2 hasn't not aired in Canada yet, right?
No, soon.
Oh wow, okay.
Yeah, soon.
If Scott Patterson is on the TV, he's on in my house. Is all
Thank
I'm
you
saying.
Very much.
It's all about my
forever.
My husband sometimes
off
he'll come
forever,
in and he'll be like,
Linda. Wait, Scott, is it soft four? Saw four? Which Saw?
I can't see any of those.
Why are we bringing that into the conversation?
Because it's my favorite.
I can't see any of those. I can only see Scott. I can't see those movies. I'm not that kind of movie person. Mm-hmm. So.
Oh my gosh, Linda.
What does your husband say when I'm on TV?
Oh my God, your boyfriend's on TV again. I'm like, yes. I'm like, I have it on. I mean, I've watched Gilmore Girls so much. When it was on at Thanksgiving, when they put it on Up and it's on for that whole week, it's on constantly. I never turn it off. And he's like, is your boyfriend on the TV again? I'm like, yes, go away.
I give Linda 10 out of 10, like, apple pies.
Oh my gosh, you guys are 10 so out of nice. 10. I listen to your podcast. I'm caught up. I listen to it every night as much as possible whenever it's on. I'm listening.
Where are you? What part of the country?
I live in South Georgia, Valdosta.
Oh, you're in Valdosta. Okay.
Yeah, which is near Moody Air Force Base.
Okay, cool.
So, I was telling Amy earlier, my daughter decided to go to school down here and find her husband and start procreating. So my husband and I lived in Atlanta for 30 something years. And I said, bye, see ya. Got to go be with the grandson.
There you go.
My grandson is, I also relate, Scott, because my grandson is the age of your son. He's 9.
Oh, really?
Yes, he's 9. And actually we have he calls me Nona because my husband's Sicilian. Mm-hmm. And, so we have a Nona Gavin. His name's Gavin. We have a Nona Gavin date tomorrow night.
Oh, that is so cute.
That's very nice.
Yeah, yeah, we're dressing up. He's taking me to dinner.
Oh, that is so cute.
Yeah, cool. So.
Well, listen, best to your husband.
Thank you. Thank you, very much.
He sounds like a solid dude.
He is. We've been married for 40 years.
Wow.
And we've been together for 44.
Wow.
That's so great.
So. Lifers, as they say. Yeah, no. we're lifers, but it was wonderful talking to y'all.
Oh,
I'm
Linda,
so excited.
You are
good
awesome.
Talking to you, Linda. Oh,
thank you. You have a wonderful afternoon and evening, and I hope the California snow doesn't get you.
Yeah, we're doing good today. It's sunny now.
I'm in Southern California. I think Amy's in Northern California.
Yeah, so it's sunny here. It's hot. Okay. I went outside in a sweatshirt, and I don't even need a sweatshirt today.
Yeah, you got like 10 feet of snow to deal with, don't you? Yeah.
I'm going up to Tahoe next weekend, so I'll
have fun. Thank y'all.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye.
All right, it was a pleasure.
Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices, and vacation disappears quicker than ice cream melts. But what if summer doesn't have to come with a scorching price tag? What if there's another way? With IKEA, your plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Dreamy getaways can mean the perfect reading nook right outside your window, picnic in the shade, or taking your morning coffee to meet the morning sun. Really, any meal tastes better outside. Create that summer escape for family and friends and start planning a better, more affordable summer right now. You can be the host with the most and the least worries. This summer, make your doorstep the perfect vacation destination with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
There he is, Tyler Conroy, ladies and gentlemen. The one and only Tyler from Instagram fame. There he is. We got him. Everybody wants him. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing so good. This is unreal.
Oh my God, you're so cute, Tyler.
Oh my gosh.
Wait, we need to explain for people that are just listening. So Tyler is watching Gilmore Girls and, you know, films himself, shoots himself watching, and the ending, he just, I know you've gone past it now, but your video of you watching season 6 went fully viral. Because Tyler didn't love the ending.
I wasn't happy she was reverting back. Like, she was going back, and I felt like she was going back in time, and Rory was kind of maturing, and I don't know if that was the writer's view or point of view on that, to have them like mature in the opposite direction.
Yeah, that's a good take. We haven't talked about that, but it's a good take.
Yeah, like Valentine's episode when at the vineyard, like her and Logan are so mature. And Luke look like they're a high school couple, like not going with themselves.
Right.
So were you shocked?
Oh, I was gagged. I was absolutely gagged. I was just I love Luke and Lorelai. I was so happy at the end of season 5 when she was like, Luke, will you marry me? Like, that was actually my first reaction that I posted. My friend Trudy was like, I told her I was watching for the first time, and she was like, okay, these are the episodes I need you to film just because I want to see your reaction. Yeah. She was like, the end of season 5, the end of season 6, and the end of season 7. And I was like, okay. And I sent her the end of season 5. She was like, you should absolutely post this. And now it has almost like 3 million views on TikTok.
Oh my God.
That's hysterical.
The end of season 7 one, I think, also almost has, or end of season, the year in the life. So not.
We aren't there yet because we're protecting Danielle from knowing what happens. But so.
Oh, good. I didn't see anything.
No. You're fine. So I don't know. Maybe I would love to just hear your thoughts on season 6 and the ending. And just sort of, you can just talk to us.
I mean, season 6, we know Luke doesn't like to be like sprung on. Like, he does, that's not his energy. He doesn't know what to do. Lorelai comes in like a wrecking ball during like rush hour at the diner and is like, ultimatum now. And it's just like, I know why she did it, because she had been pushed by Emily. She had been pushed by April's mother to be like, I don't want you around my daughter unless you're married. But I also wanted Lorelai to just enjoy being engaged to Luke, like enjoy that time. If June wasn't going to work, he was so like, in the Valentine's Day episode, he was all like, you know, yes, like, well, let's pick a date. If having a date makes you feel better, then let's talk about it. Like, maybe it's not June 3rd, but sure. And then enjoy being engaged and enjoy like Luke discovering himself with April and discovering being a father, him never having really that moment before.
Yep. Right. Why and isn't she happy for him?
I agree.
Why isn't she supportive for him? He's got it. Exactly. Good. Great point.
And so I get like, she was definitely feeling pressure from everything else. And then poor Lane's wedding.
I blocked that out, actually. Oh God.
Oh my gosh. How can you block that out? Also, Mrs. Kim is truly one of my favorites in the entire series. Like in season 6, when she makes Zach write a song before he can propose.
A hit. It had to be a hit.
Iconic. So iconic. And just like, go Mrs. Kim. Love her. One of my favorite characters on the show. Lorelai could have gone to anybody, right? But I do think they said, you guys talked about this last week on the podcast, they did set it up really well, where you saw that Lorelai kind of was disconnected from her normal crew. She can't relate to Sookie anymore because she has that whole family life now and she can't really relate to that. And Sookie doesn't really get what's going on with her. She's like, no, she won't say anything. Like, I can't get her to open up. And she can't talk to her mother because we know her mother is really not Team Luke. And the episode where her mom gets the eye surgery, iconic. I made my mom watch the series after I finished it. And she was like, do you think I'm like Emily? Like, is that why you wanted me to watch this? And I'm like, well, like sometimes I see you and Emily and sometimes I see like your mom to you and Emily. So I just thought, you know, it'd be fun. But so I get why she didn't have anybody to go to, but she could have gone to Luke. Like she could have gone back and been like, I'm sorry. Yeah. She could have just gone home. I get why she wouldn't be alone. She's got Palenka. She's got a dog. Go home to your cute little dog. Little Palenka instead of Christopher and his stupid buzz cut and his toxic relationship you have with him. And like
the dog would be preferable to Christopher, I agree.
Yeah, absolutely. Go to Dean. We know Dean loves cheating. Like I think I would have been less mad if it was anybody but Christopher.
Can you imagine? What a different show if she ended up with Dean.
maybe people would have stuck on for season 7. Like that's a show right there.
Oh my god.
But yeah,
I didn't hate it. I'm the only one on planet Earth that was like, this is exactly what she would do. Exactly.
You're right, because they were really reverting her. Like I said, like it felt like the writers were reverting her maturity. You were watching Rory mature into an adult, and you're watching Lorelai kind of like descend maturity level. So like it, yeah, like Rory also kind of did the same thing. Like she slept with Dean while he was married. And so they kind of gave that to Lorelai. And they're kind of like shifting their maturity paths.
I agree with that. We didn't really address that, but we did talk about how it's one of the most amazing sort of Rory Logan moments. And you're right in that it's because they are making the hard choice because it's the best choice in that moment for Logan. And so Rory is sacrificing herself for Logan to go do what he needs to do. And I would have liked to see Lorelai sacrifice herself to allow Luke to do what he needed to do.
That's what she was doing the whole time, though. I think that's why I'm not connecting with you.
Was she? Because she never really is. She's all but hurt all the time, even though she's not expressing it.
I disagree. I disagree.
She's like moping around.
She did everything Luke wanted her to do.
But
he wanted her to stay away and stay in the background, and she did.
But so she wasn't doing it. So here, there's a difference. I always say it like this. There's playing hard to get and there's being hard to get. So in those same terms, she was doing it, but she wasn't doing it truly. She's upset about it. She's bummed about it. She's not doing it altruistically for him. She's doing it because he told her to. She should have done it because it was what he needed. I mean, you don't have to agree. I see,
I don't agree.
You don't have to. That's the beauty of it. We don't have to agree to both. It doesn't make one of us right or wrong. I think Lorelai could have been more supportive of Luke and this and major
situation. How would she, like, what should she have done that would be more supportive?
So instead of just staying away, she would understand.
Not act like an out of control, impulsive teenager.
Yeah, that's right.
When did she do that? Other than this last episode.
She just did it. Thank you, Tyler. Tyler agrees. No, but because she's been doing it all along. First of all, it's very teenagery to make up a staff meeting and hide in your bedroom and have Miss Patty lie and say, you're not home. That's like insane. That to me was where I was like, she's gone. Wait, what, Tyler?
She's taking like 10 tequila shots at
exactly.
This kid's wedding.
That's teenager too, and getting up there and making that embarrassing toast and being so unhinged. The other thing is she's doing it, but she's not doing it for the right reasons. And I know I sound like I'm on The Bachelor, but it's like if she truly supported Luke and really was in it with him, she would have had no issue giving him that space. She wouldn't. If she really understood this is a life-changing thing that has just happened to him, I need to sacrifice my own needs and wants and give him the time. And he never indicated he didn't love her and that the wedding wasn't happening. She made that up in her head, in my opinion. Allegedly.
Okay.
But you don't, I mean, you can, but then say what you think. Say what you think.
I think that she was doing, I think by, how do I phrase it? Like, by staying in the background because Luke wanted her to, that's how she was supporting him. She never pressured Luke to say, like, let me meet April, let me hang out with you guys, like, let's all be friends. Like, she was, that's how she was trying to support him, was by following his wishes. And
I agree with that. But the reason she exploded is because she wasn't doing it from her heart. She was doing it because he told her to. If she was doing it truly, like selflessly, unconditional love for him, there would be no reason to have an ultimatum or explode, because she would be so like, he needs time and I'm good with it because I know we're going to get married. She's just totally gone insecure, because if she truly believed.
Yeah, I don't blame her.
So this, here we go again. We are forcing, who's forcing behaviors on characters to so that they are acting unlike characters that they've long established, right?
Right. Moonlight is confident.
Are you recognizing Luke? Are you recognizing Lorelai in these scenes? Or do they seem like they are Luke and Lorelai? Do they seem like they are these
somewhat.
People? Or that something has been imposed upon them?
Somewhat they seem like themselves. Tyler, go ahead.
Oh, I was just, I fully agree with, like, Lorelai just, there were, like, you see little moments, like, you see her when she gets to, like, be a part of April's life, and she's so excited, and then April's mom is like, no, like, I need someone who's committed. I need to know someone's committed. So in Lorelai's mind, she's making up this false reality that because she's not married, that she's not committed, so she wants to be a part of April. She liked having that, and now she's not going to be able to have that unless she's married, so she wants to get married now, and she's, but it is very, like, childish. Like, I think, like, Scott, like you said, like, she's acting immature, and she's acting impulsively instead of listening to her partner, like a mature adult who maybe goes to therapy. Like, you think, like, you're going to have this great moment.
Because I agree with you, Tyler. No, I agree with you. Yeah. He told her, we're going to get married and we can have lobster at the wedding. He's never indicated to her they're not going to get married.
But actions speak louder than words. I tell my kids that all the time. It's like, you say you're going to wash the dishes, but I know you're not going to wash the dishes until you actually go wash the dishes. I'm going to change the topic because, Tyler, you said something like 10 minutes ago that I, like, latched onto, and you made a comment about Dean and Rory, and I realized there's a parallel. If you think about that disaster date where Rory was in the bar with the guy that Emily set her up with,
oh, and yeah.
She calls Dean, right? She didn't have to call Dean. She could have called any other number of people. She could have called her grandmother and be like, you know, you set me up with a drunk driver. Did you know that? And that completely parallels what
that's
you could say about Lorelai.
Could
have gone anywhere. She didn't have to go to Christopher's house. She could have, anyways, I just hadn't thought
that's
of that
a,
parallel.
That's a great note.
So I that, just, I had
that's
to
a great that. Call out. And we did at the time say, why did she call Dean?
Right. And, you know, it's like Amy's writing, Amy Sherman-Palladino, it's very big on the, you know, the full circle. And so there's so many parallels between Lorelai and Rory. And that was one that I had never even caught before until you mentioned that. So
that's a good note. That's so true. Like mother, like daughter.
Exactly.
And yeah, because the next day Rory's like, what? That's just like my Dean. Like, he didn't cheat. He's not, I'm not home wrecking. That's my Dean. And I feel like Lorelai has the same impression. Like, Gigi is also, that's one of my favorite lines from the show. And Gigi's like, I also don't sleep in my nightgown when I'm sick. Like, iconic. Like, so iconic. And like, Lorelai's going to wake up and be like, oh, well, like, that was just like my Christopher. Like, that means nothing. I'm going to go marry Luke now and still be with Luke. And he's going to think this is so funny. Ha ha.
It's a lot. I mean, it's a lot. Like, we saw it in Tyler's reaction. It's a lot.
Yeah, I just, because after season 5, I'm like, yes, I've been waiting 5 seasons for this to happen, for like Luke and Lorelai to get together, to have this like beautiful life together. And then Lorelai just really took a turn. I don't know if it was like Rory joining the, you know, the DAR and
right.
But also she was maturing, and I think she was maturing past Lorelai, and Lorelai didn't know what to do with that. She was like, no, I want my teenager. Like, I want that. Like, I'm healing my inner child through my own teenage daughter. And now she's maturing. And now what do I do? I've never grown.
And she's
past
still stuck. We talked about that. She's sort of stuck. I don't know, Suzanne, I am interested in your take. If you see that Lorelai imploded throughout the season, or is it because Luke wasn't leveling up to where she needed him to be?
I think she just was worn down. Like, she thought she was doing the right thing by staying back because Luke wanted her to. But she said herself in that last episode, she's like, you know, I feel crappy all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, she just knew that it didn't feel right. And so I forgot your question.
No, that was a good answer. It totally, look, I'm going way deep now and I'll let everybody go. But
maybe she was just feeling like she couldn't control the situation. So it caused a lot of anxiety in her because she's used to controlling all these situations.
That's right, Scott. I think she's making herself feel right how she's feeling. Right. No one's doing it to her. She's kind of what Tyler said, sort of creating it in her own mind. I do think she's making matters worse for herself rather than just being confident and saying, yes, this is a giant hiccup, but we're going to be good.
Suzanne, how do you feel about that?
I mean, I think Luke could have helped. I mean, Luke could have been more reassuring. And
I don't know if anybody knows who, if anybody listens to Abraham Hicks. Tyler, do you know who Abraham Hicks is?
No.
You guys all got to YouTube it, because basically she's sort of like a therapy guru, and her whole thing would be Lorelai is doing this to herself. It's not Luke doing it to her, that she's creating sort of this. She's making it worse for herself in her own mind. I don't know. So people, I'm going to get 100,000 mean emails.
Don't
but it's
read
fine.
Them. Don't read them.
That Lorelai, exactly. She was getting hurt by false realities that she was making up in her head, which is a very mature thing to do in somebody who has not done the growth or personal work and is secure in themselves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah.
I think I made this point earlier when we had a different caller on. The whole, I don't blame Lorelai for being insecure, because this whole thing started with Luke withholding information from her. And when she found out that he had known about April for 2 months and didn't tell her, I can see how that would feel like a betrayal. Mm-hmm. And so I can see that was the seed of insecurity in her mind, that, okay, if he didn't think I was important enough to share that information
with,
he's checking out. And
it's like a domino effect.
That's a fair point. That's a fair point. I'm going to totally agree with you there, that had he handled that initial thing different. Now, I don't totally fault him. I get it. It was overwhelming and he was terrified.
Right.
But I get that. You're right. I do think that started, like Scott said, a domino effect. It was just a train wreck from there.
It's Luke's fault. Just blame the guy. Just always blame the guy. He can take it, by the way.
Dude, I'm trying so hard.
He can take the shots, but he did it his way.
I've tried so hard.
I mean,
for
this
entire
show, if you think about all the relationships, the entire show is founded on a lack of communication.
Right.
Every single pair of people, except maybe like Maury and Babette, suffers from a lack of communication at some point.
Totally.
Like Max and Suki, Richard and Emily, all of them suffer from that. It's just a recurring theme everywhere.
Well, it's a recurring theme in relationships. So,
yeah, it's why I always say it's a Three's Company episode.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, the one about the miscommunication.
Right. Oh, that's Tyler. Thank you for joining us for our therapy, Gilmore Girls therapy today.
Oh my gosh. Thank you all so much. I've loved, this is This is so surreal to me, especially because I truly just started watching this at like Thanksgiving. So the fact that
oh my god, you're jamming, dude!
My screen.
You've
already
watched. You've watched the movies now, right?
Oh yeah, I've watched.
Okay, everything. You've watched everything now.
My mother watched it even faster than me. She's retired, and so that's why she was like, "What do I watch now?" I'm like, "Gilmore Girls. You're gonna love it."
Cranked it. So good.
In 2 months.
Where are you? What part of the country are you in?
I'm in New York City.
Okay. All right.
Suzanne, I do think we need to tell people that we genuinely like each other because
we do. Yes.
We like each other like so much.
Oh, they do. It's disgusting.
We're total pals. It's
like we have to separate them.
we can disagree, but we like totally love each other.
We have to encourage them to mingle with other people.
When we had the live podcast event and we saw each other, it was like big hugs everywhere.
Totally. And it's look, if we agreed all the time, what's fun about that?
But it's like, but Amy and I don't get along.
No, we hate each other.
It's like, I see her coming, I run the other way.
That's why I can't remember. I'm like, was that on the air? Was that just one of our like phone calls? I think people don't realize, like, we talk about this show on the air, off the air, on text, on the weekend. It's just like, oh God. Anyway, welcome to the mess, Tyler.
Honored to be here. Thank you all so much.
Yeah, I have a feeling we're going to be seeing you again, Tyler.
For sure.
I just have a feeling. Feeling you're somehow going to be a part of this somehow. Anyway, thanks.
Thanks so much.
Keep making those great videos. You're awesome. And appreciate the time.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
all right,
Tyler.
Take care.
Good talking to you.
Good meeting you, buddy. Take care.
It wouldn't be a I Am All In podcast if there wasn't a brawl. Oh, God.
Okay, that's going to wrap it up, kids. Thanks for everybody called in. We had a blast. Love you guys. We're going to do this again. Really enjoyed it. Thank you, Suzanne. Thank you, Amy. And we will see you next time. Stay safe, everyone. Follow us on Instagram at I Am All In Podcast and email us at gilmore@iheartradio.com.
All summer, the best time of the year usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Who doesn't love shopping at Target? Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target? And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. But wait, there's more. Now you've got a new way to save with Target Circle 360. With unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's. Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. That's $50 off the regular price. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms, applies to orders over $35. For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.